right out of Oxford University. Lindsay took a year to work with a wonderful mission agency, Operation Mobilization, on their ship logos. That year of service proved very important in shaping his Christian life, as well as his future with the IFES. Remember, IFES is made up of 130 national student movements, like University USA and University Canada, and they work together all around the world to reach students for Christ. Many students that have attended Urbana's in the past are now working through InterVarsity Link, our mission sending agency, on an IFES team that Lindsay talks about in his interview. They're doing marvelous work, pioneering work in Europe and in the former Soviet Union and elsewhere. In this interview, Lindsay has some very encouraging words for you if you feel that perhaps the commitments that you made at Urbana were not realistic, along with some very practical advice on how to continue to grow as we seek to serve God in missions. Let's enjoy what Lindsay has to say.
Lindsay, we're glad to have you with us today. Why don't you begin by telling me about your experiences with Operation Mobilization when you served on their ship Logos? What lessons did God teach you through that experience, and what impact did that have on your faith and life?
Well, it helped to strengthen my commitment to missions. While I was a student in the three previous years, I went on short-term mission projects each summer, and the chance to join OM for a year was a means of building on top of that. So a combination of those three summers plus the year on the ship helped to solidify my ongoing commitment to cross-cultural mission. While I was on the ship itself, I think there were three major tangible benefits that remained with me longer term. The first was I saw the value of working together in a team. As I mentioned in my talk in the conference, John Wesley once said, "There's nothing in the scriptures about solitary religion. If you don't have fellowship, you must make it." And living on the ship in a community demonstrated to me the real value of the encouragement and benefit you can have from working together in teams with Christians, because it's very easy to get discouraged if you're struggling along on your own. So it's very important to be able to work together with others. A second tangible benefit was that on the ship they had a superb library with tapes and books, and I took the advantage of that in the year that I was on the ship to once a month look at a particular question I was struggling with, like the question of suffering or the uniqueness of Christ, and gather together some good books and tapes and work out how I would answer the question myself. And ever since that time, I've seen the value of using tapes and books for strengthening my own Christian faith and walk with Christ. A third tangible benefit, I think, was the value of intercession for different nations of the world, again by praying with other people. If I could share one of my own struggles, I think, is that I find it much easier to pray in groups than I do on my own. Some people are great prayers behind a closed door, but being very much a people person, I respond much more to praying with a friend or with my wife or with a group of other people. And as a means of maintaining a vigorous prayer life, the evenings of prayer we had around the world on Fridays on the ship were a great help to me. And my guess is that actually many young people are like that, that we're stimulated in our prayer lives by praying together with other people, even if it's only for a few minutes each day or each week together. And I often suggest that one way of helping people who are struggling in their own prayer lives is to try and find a prayer partner, for example, that they can pray with on a regular basis, either daily or weekly or monthly. So I think those three benefits were tangible benefits which have remained with me 15 years later after I left the ship.
Now you are General Secretary of the International Fellowship of Evangelical Students. You say that's been 15 years since your time with Operation Mobilization. Does that experience play any role in your enthusiasm for the year-long IFES teams that are now available?
Yes, to a large extent, the year teams in IFES were modeled on my own experience in Operation Mobilization, together with seeing how many international students there were in Paris when I was studying there in the early 80s and the opportunities for reaching out to them. You can accomplish much more, I think, in working in a team. There's always someone who's depressed and someone who's encouraged, and the one can lift the other up and encourage the other. The other value of a team is that you have a combination of gifts as well as temperaments. So a group of people working together can often accomplish much more than someone working on their own. So in many ways, the experience of working in small teams in OM was foundational for the development of teams in IFES, as I think it's been in many other mission societies around the world, actually. I think OM led the way in the early 60s in terms of developing the concept of a team. And I think a lot of other missions who have these teams almost unwittingly picked up on their experience.
At Urbana 93, a number of our delegates heard the message in many different ways, as you just described it, the value of working as a team, the value of praying together. In fact, we had such wonderful experiences of prayer together. Mm-hmm. Are North Americans then welcome to serve on these year-long teams?
There are many more opportunities than there are people who are taking them at the moment. And one of the reasons I came to Urbana was in the hope of recruiting more young North American folks to come and join these teams. They only started in IFES in the early 1980s. 1983, I think, was the first one in Paris when I was living there. This year there are 38 teams, mainly in Europe and the former Soviet Union. By 1995, we would hope to have 55 teams across Europe and the former Soviet Union. That would depend on how many people we're able to recruit. But in this next academic year, we're also hoping to start the first teams in Asia, in Mongolia, the capital Ulaanbaatar. And also in the Middle East, we hope to start teams in Aden in the Yemen and Tunis in Tunisia. So we would hope over the next few years that these teams would spread to some other parts of the world. At the moment, though, they're mainly in Europe and the CIS. And there are plenty of opportunities for young American folks to come and join. They'd be very welcome.
It sounds very, very exciting. I'm sure there are a number of our Urbana decision makers who are still praying about exactly where God wants them to serve in terms of world evangelization. For those who are still praying about these issues and wondering how they fit in, maybe it would be helpful if you could give us an idea of the sort of qualities that you're looking for in team members.
Yeah, well, another thing, incidentally, I learned from OM, I suppose, was the conviction that God can use anybody. And that's why we actually turn very few people away from joining the teams, because one of the dangers in the past in IFES movements has been the danger of elitism. And I have this basic conviction, I suppose, that God is able to use even the most broken of individuals, how weak and insignificant they feel themselves. But alongside that, I would say there are a few characteristics we would look for. One is that the individual loves Christ and wants to speak of him, has a heart for evangelism. It's advantageous, certainly, if they've had experience in an InterVarsity group. It's not absolutely essential, but if you've seen the workings of a local chapter, it is easier to seek to develop a similar kind of work in another country than if you're not coming from that background at all. Two other important characteristics would probably be the preparedness for flexibility, because living and working in another culture, you have to be open to change and differences. So people who come with a very rigid starting point, they would find it more difficult, probably. And the other critical dimension would be a servant spirit, preparedness to work alongside others, to do a bit of dirty work, not necessarily to be the leaders straight away, preparedness to see things happen slowly as well as quickly. I think one of the key things that people should bear in mind if they join teams is that God works over a period of time, and give him time to work, that you don't always see conversions immediately. And therefore, people should be very realistic before they come about what they're likely to see. I usually say to people in their first year on a year team, look, probably more will happen in your life this year than you will actually bring to pass in the lives of any others. And it may be that God's brought you on the team for this particular year to do a work in your life more than for him to use you to reach out to others. And often in the second year, as they've got to grips with the language and the culture, they are used more in reaching out to others. So it's very important that people have realistic objectives when they come. Don't think they're necessarily going to transform the whole culture in one year.
But it sounds like, from what you're saying in terms of having the patience to see how things unfold, that even a year may not be long enough sometimes. Is that true?
generally speaking, I think it's good if people can stay for 2 years. But we're not rigid on that because when I joined OM, the rule was 2 years and I only stayed one because I returned to work among students in my own country.
You were talking about some elements of relationship and how important that is to team life. What can students be doing now to help develop their relational skills?
Well, I think it's just invaluable to be involved in some kind of small group. And as you have interaction with people on a regular basis, so you learn how to relate to others. I always hesitate when you're talking about relationships to give techniques which people can follow. I think it's just best to spend time with people of both sexes, and you learn in the rough and tumble, as it were, of making mistakes, how to relate to others. And this is something InterVarsity is very good at, actually, small group work. And I would encourage everyone who's not a member of a small group either to join one within InterVarsity or if they're involved with some other student organization like NAVS or Campus Crusade or whatever, to commit themselves to some kind of small group where they can give to others and receive from them also.
When people will be hearing this tape, will have been more than 9 months since Urbana 93. How would you encourage people who may be struggling to persevere in the commitments they made there?
Well, first thing I'd say is, it might be unusual, I'd say reevaluate the commitments you made and ask yourself whether they were realistic. I would have to say that sometimes in large conferences, sometimes people overstretch themselves and establish objectives which may be way beyond their capacity. And I think it's very important to establish objectives, goals for what you want to do, which are realistic and which you feel you can accomplish. That's why I said on the decision night that two recommendations I would make would be to form a prayer group where you pray with a group of friends perhaps once a week and that you have a goal of reaching out to one international student in a year. I think those are two very simple objectives, for example, which are easily attainable by the vast majority of people. With reference to prayer groups, for example, some people I talked with said, you know, they wanted to pray for 2 hours a day or 3 hours a day. Well, I don't do that. And I would find it extremely difficult to maintain that, even if I started it. It's best to start small, be realistic. If you're thinking about prayer life, just have the objective of praying for 10 minutes every day. 10 minutes every day rather than 15 minutes one day, 3 minutes the next, and nothing the third day is much better. It's best to have a consistent base and build steadily from there, build consistency into your Christian life. So first of all, to avoid discouragement, I would say evaluate the commitments you made, evaluate the goals, realize that God is on your side. He's a Father who loves us and wants us to grow. And maybe reestablish more realistic goals. Secondly, I would say look back at some of the materials you received, maybe some of the tapes or the videos or the books which are available, and read through these as a means of stirring your heart again and asking God to inspire you afresh. That was my experience, as I mentioned earlier, on OM, listening to tapes, reading books, watching videos of inspirational speakers. Stirred my heart and was a great encouragement to me. So I think it's good if people can periodically do this also to encourage themselves. And then involve themselves in some practical, simple objectives, which, as I mentioned, they can see as being attainable. I mentioned those two earlier, international students and a prayer group, but there may be others also, like going to one mission conference a year or reading one missionary book a year. If they end up reading three books, great. But they'll feel good then, rather than, you know, having a simple, limited objective and going beyond that is actually more encouraging and inspirational. It's very critical in the Christian life to realize it's important to build and to build consistently. Someone once said to me, if a crisis is not followed by a process, it becomes an abscess. And the danger of Urbana is that it can evoke a kind of crisis experience when you're together with 17, 18,000 people. It's very inspirational. You get great encouragement, and you maybe make commitments which overstretch yourself. I would say it's very important, having to be been in that sort of climactic environment where God may have spoken in a dramatic way, to realize that after every crisis, there needs to be the process of continuous and gradual growth. It's like physical growth. Sometimes, perhaps in our early teens, we go through spurts of growth, mm-hmm. and there are other times when the growth is perhaps, at my age, sideways or outwards rather than upwards. We have to realize that there are periods of different types of growth, and therefore a crisis experience or a climactic experience needs to be followed by a time when we build on that gradually. Otherwise, we look back at the crisis experience perhaps negatively, and it becomes an abscess. So it's very important to build constructively and practically with simple objectives on your experience in Urbana.
I'm sure many of our leaders, our listeners, will find that reminder very helpful, because they looked at your message that you gave on the commitment night as probably a turning point in their lives. Mm-hmm. And going back to some of the things that you suggested would be very helpful for them at this time, I would think. Mm-hmm. Lindsay, it was an absolute delight to have you as a part of the convention, and it's also a delight to have you with us today to share some more thoughts with our Urbana decision makers. Is there anything else that you would like, any other thoughts you'd like to leave with our decision makers?
Just remember, God's on your side. There's no one he can't use. He really wants to use you. He's not looking for superstars. He's just looking for people who are prepared to yield themselves to him and want to be used in his service. And if we offer ourselves to him, there's plenty he can give us to do.
Thank you, Lindsay.